Speak, O Lord, your servants heareth. Amen. Please be seated. Anyone have an extra sermon? No. One of the staples of the college classroom, particularly in philosophy, but not only in philosophy, is the question about the problem of evil. Where does evil come from? How does it have such enormous power over us? And the kind of standard way of framing the question in most college classrooms and in philosophy books as well goes something like this. This is a short version. Either God cannot prevent suffering, and thus is not God, or God can prevent suffering, but chooses not to, and thus is a monster. So do we have that? That's the kind of traditional take on evil, where evil comes from and how we have to live with it. Either God can't prevent suffering, he's helpless against suffering, as we are, and so is not God. Well, that's part of the definition, the classical definition of God, is that he is all-powerful. So is not God, or God can prevent suffering. He is all-powerful, but he chooses not to use that power to end the suffering of the innocent, and thus is a monster. All ancient cultures, and I was doing some thinking, I think even into our own, but that's in that other sermon that I fell down on the floor. Most cultures divide the world up into pure and impure things, clean and unclean things. And you know, as you've read the Bible, you know the camel is unclean, the pig is unclean, but the cattle are not unclean, cats are not unclean. Cats are cats unclean? Cats are too wily. We don't know what they are. They have their own system going. But there is this sense that the world is really kind of bifurcated. And there is this reality about the world that evil takes its place in our lives in ways that we may not expect it. When people think about the source of evil, they usually come up with two states of being. People are either pure or they're impure. They're either clean or they're unclean. And they can travel between states. So, for example, I can be pure, I can be clean, but once I touch a dead person or even a dying person, I am now unclean. What does that mean? That means that I can't go into the synagogue. If I can't go into the synagogue, that's where all of everything takes place. All of the interactions, all of the discussions about the future, job possibilities, everything takes place in the context of the synagogue. If I can't go into the synagogue, I'm hurting. Now, if I can't go for a long time, there's trouble for my family. But there is a deep sense that the impure cannot be close even to the pure, that the whole culture will make just tremendous strides to try to keep them separate. Women once a month have to go outside the camp. They can't even be in the village, they've got to go outside. And of course, when a loved one is very sick or is dying, we touch them at our peril. What is the source of evil? According to the philosophers, we don't really know. Philosophers and others see evil all around us and attempt to address it, but it's very difficult. Jesus says, you give a long list in another part of the passage, particularly long list of evil things to happen. And Jesus in Mark shouts out, no, 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 all the time in this passage, because this passage wants to say that Mark is identifying the source of evil as the human heart. That don't look out there for demons. It's one of the standard approaches. The demons did it. The demons are surrounding me. Throughout the New Testament, demons are threatening human life. Jesus has nothing to do with that. Instead, Mark, the gospel writer, has Jesus basically say, no, it is not the philosophers, and no, it is not demons. And what are those Pharisees saying? The Pharisees are saying, it's my impurity that is the source of evil in our village. It's my impurity that is the source of why somebody died, because I touched them, and now I am guilty. And there is a word in this text that gets repeated. It's a short text, this Markan passage is very short. One word appears 11 times. What is that word? That word is anthropos. Now, those of you who studied Greek know what anthropos is. Anthropos means person, human being. I am an anthropos. You are anthropoi. It means more than one. And Jesus is saying that don't look for the source of evil in things out there. The Pharisees want to say the source of evil is if you touch unclean things like the cup, the copper cup that you picked up at the market, and if you pour water in a drink, you are unclean. If you handle something with somebody who's unclean, you are unclean. And it's not cleanliness the way we think of cleanliness with soap and water. It's purely ritual. It has nothing to do with disease and germs. It has only to do with the state of being that one is in. One is either clean and part of the community, or unclean and expelled from the community. But Mark, when he hears these solutions, says no, 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 basically 11 times. It's the person. We are the source of our own evil. We don't need somebody from the outside to come in, though they may, and cause evil. Simply look into our own hearts. New Testament scholar Elizabeth Johnson puts it this way: no law or tradition can protect us from the suffering of our own hands. No law or tradition, again, she says, the issue is not cleanliness of the hands, but cleanliness of the heart. It's cleanliness of the heart that counts, not cleanliness of what people see. And in a world where the demons are everywhere, and in a world where everything seems to be unclean, Jesus says that has nothing to do with anything that's human. Evil comes out of our own free will, our own response to the world. It's external powers that hurt or threaten, but they are external. They are not controlling of us. How does one understand these difficult things? I look at these passages and I sometimes don't know what to make of them. And our next, if we look at the epistle lesson, we come up with something that seems so very different. It seems like it has nothing to do with evil at all. It seems to have nothing to do even with Jesus. But in fact, what James does, James is basically saying that the evil we experience in our world is real. And it surrounds us at all times. But we don't have to give in to it. As a matter of fact, James says, you don't have to give in to it, and you can find joy in not giving in to it, even if it destroys you. James says that these external powers are overcomable in Jesus Christ. Then he goes a little further and says a very daring thing. He says that, do you want to be clean? Now, James doesn't give a rip about being clean. He's with Jesus. They don't have any time for this. They think this is just a big distraction. It's a diversion. It doesn't have anything to do with real life. So James says, well, you want to be clean. Okay, I understand. It's part of our tradition. It's our custom. Here's how you can be clean. How do you think James says you can be clean? Take care of widows and orphans in their need. You want to be clean? You can go through all of the rituals you want. It's not going to make you any cleaner than you were before. If you want to be clean, invite the stranger into your home. Do you want to be clean? Take care of those around you. Do you want to be clean? Feel the cleanliness that comes when the human heart is open to God. When the human heart is open to God, then there is a kind of transference between Christ and us. The goodness of Christ, the love of Christ for other people becomes part of who we are. Our own heart becomes the heart of Jesus. And you can't get more pure than that. Thanks be to God.